There isn't very much in the Bible about the Christmas story, considering how important we might think it is, particularly if we don't come to church very often. There's only a few chapters, and we've had quite a number of portions from those chapters read for us this evening. There's not so much, but still, it's a really significant event. The way that the writers record the birth of Jesus, a bit like the rest of the Bible, but especially there, because it's very compressed, every word is really important and carefully weighed. And we're going to think just about a few words from Matthew's gospel, Matthew's history about Jesus, which begins with the birth, but spends a lot of time talking about the life and then the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But we're going to think about something from the first chapter. I want you to imagine for just one moment that you're Joseph. You're Joseph. You have a lovely fiancée. She's thoughtful. She's caring. She's careful. She listens. She reflects. She's much younger than you. She's a good girl. She's bright. She's resourceful. She has a gentle character. She seems to fit so perfectly with you. And in your culture, engagement is pretty much commitment to be married. It's like you are married already, but you're just not living together yet. You're a man who trusts God. You want to worship God. You want to serve God. You want to do the right thing. You're interested in what God's word, the scriptures, what we now call the Old Testament, says. And you want to work that out in your life. You make things from wood. That's your job. You like doing it. You try and do it for the glory of God. You don't want to be famous. You just want to be faithful. You live in a shame and honor culture. If you do something right, you're honored, you're respected. But if you do something wrong, it's not just about punishment. There might be punishment, there might be consequences, but it's not just about that. In fact, it's more about this. You dishonor your name. You dishonor your family. You dishonor your village. It's a shame and honor culture. And that's especially true when it comes to issues of morality. But you're not worried. Because Mary is a good girl. Let me read the words. I've got to swap sides because there's not a screen there as there normally is. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So you're Joseph, and then you hear this news. It's like being hit by a freight train. It's just devastating. It knocks everything out of you. It's the worst possible news you could have heard. It's crushing. Your fiance, your Mary, your betrothed, the one you're going to marry, she's pregnant. And if that weren't bad enough, you were not the father. And you know what that means. You know that it means that she slept with another man. She must have done. You know that it means shame, disgrace. You know that it means all the plans you had, all the hopes you had, all the dreams you had, all the expectations you had will not now be fulfilled. What to do? Well, reject her, of course. But what else to do? Turn her over to the authorities? They might publicly denounce her. They might drive her out of society. By their own law, they could stone her. That's what they did with prostitutes. You're a righteous man. You're a thoughtful man. You're a gracious man. You want to do what's right. You're puzzled by what's going on. In your law, you can write out a certificate of divorce. Find two people to witness that and to come with you. And you write that certificate of divorce out and you give it to your engaged, who's effectively your wife, and you divorce her quietly. You're Joseph. You're a good man. That's what you decide to do. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Are you impulsive? I am. Don't like to spend too long thinking about things. Life is too short, I would argue. Joseph was not. You know, you've got all this issue going on, and he goes to bed. I'd want it all sorted before I went to bed, you know, but Joseph doesn't. He's thoughtful. He's a reflective character. And he falls asleep. And as he sleeps, an angel breaks into his sleep. And as a Jew, as someone who had a whole load of history about God speaking to people, he knew that sometimes God appeared, sometimes an angel appeared, sometimes God spoke to people as they were sleeping. And so as the angel appears in his dream, he realizes it is actually God speaking to him. And this angel addresses him as a son of David, meaning he physically had descended from King David. He had royal blood in him, you might say. And Bethlehem was his home city. He's going to go there in a little while. And the angel tells him not to be afraid. It's interesting. It doesn't say don't be angry. It says don't be afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of shame. Afraid of what people might say. Afraid of the disgrace. And then an incredible explanation as to why he shouldn't be afraid. The explanation is that what is conceived in her, the baby that is growing in her, that is developing in her, just like every other baby develops, was conceived in a way that no other baby was conceived. It was conceived in a special, miraculous way that God somehow intervened in the whole biological process. And just with the egg from Mary, created a perfectly formed baby developing to be a boy, developing to be a man. Some people like to know the gender of their baby, the sex of their baby before it's born. It's kind of a thing now with the scanning, isn't it, that you can choose to know or not know. And even if you choose not to know, you might accidentally find out somehow. That's an option. Joseph doesn't get the option, does he? It's going to be a boy. Whatever you wanted, it's going to be a boy. Most couples get to choose the name of their children, don't they? Have debates about it. When the baby's born, you might even change your mind about what to call her. That's what I did with my daughter. Changed just her middle name. She could have been something completely different. Ermintrude or something she was going to be called. But after all, we called her something slightly better. Marmaduke. But Joseph doesn't get to choose that either. In that culture, the man would choose the name. He'd be the final say in choosing the name. It would often connect with something in their lives or some way that God was working or some historical way that God had worked. But no, Joseph doesn't get to choose. He's going to be called Jesus. An interesting fact is that in the Greek language, they don't have the sh sound. I don't know what they do when they want people to be quiet, but they don't have the sh sound in Greek. I watched a YouTube video this week about someone who gave a lecture, an entire lecture on why they don't want, the fact that they don't have the sh sound in Greek. So some people learning modern Greek, they didn't have it in Greek then, they don't have it in Greek now. So the name in Hebrew that Jesus was going to be called and in Aramaic was something like Yeshua. But because in Greek they don't have the sh bit, then it becomes a s bit. Yesu. You see, he was going to be called Yeshua or something sounding a bit like that because really his name was just the same as somebody from the Old Testament of the Bible, someone called Joshua. Yeshua, Joshua. And that name means the Lord saves. And Joseph would have known that. Joshua won many battles. Joshua pretty much conquered the land of Israel where the people now are, where Jesus is being born into. He'd won many famous battles. And this baby is going to be called after him. It's going to be called the Lord Saves. It's going to be called Yeshua. Because in a greater and in a more complete way, this baby is going to save his people. Not recovering the land back. He's not going to be like Joshua, reconquering the land, getting rid of the Romans who are overthrowing them. But he's going to save in a different way. He's going to rescue from something more fundamental, something more profound, something more far-reaching. And his rescue is going to be more profound, more far-reaching, and stretch across the world and through time. Because he's going to rescue from sin. And you might be sitting here thinking, okay, I was all right up to them, but now rescue from sin. What do you mean? I don't think sin's that big a problem. But God thinks it is. And in the end, it's God's view that counts on these things. God thinks it's a bigger problem than we think because we often don't understand God, what he's like, how perfect he is, how holy he is, how wonderful he is, how amazing he is. And we don't always understand how incomplete, how imperfect, how in fact rebellious we are. That's what we call sin. We prayed for people who needed rescuing from the city of Aleppo earlier on. And there are many big problems in the world, and we care about those problems, and we pray that God would have mercy in those situations. But it's not just people who are oppressed that need saving. We need saving. We're incomplete. We're imperfect. We're rebellious. And we know something's wrong because we die. And Jesus comes to rescue us, to save us, to retrieve us from that. That's what Joseph got to hear. And at this point, Matthew helps us out a bit by giving an explanation. So this is now Matthew speaking. He's been telling us the history and who's been saying what. But now Matthew speaks and he says this. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew says, what's going on here? with what Joseph's being told and the baby that's going to be born. What's going on here, what's happening, is that this is fulfilling, this is bringing about what was promised sometimes thousands of years before, a couple of thousand years before, sometimes 600-700 years before, but promises that were made. And in particular, a promise of a virgin birth. And an explanation, even then, by the person Isaiah that we had a bit read from earlier on this evening. Isaiah was told that a virgin would give birth, and the significance of that was going to be that God would be with us. God has spoken to people before, but never quite like this, that God would be with us. And here's something amazing about Jesus. Not only is he a saviour, he is God, he is man, he is with us. He is God, he is man, he is with us. Jesus really is, truly, actually, God, agent of creation, with God the Father, making everything that we see and experience. He is God, but he is man. A fetus, a baby, a son, a child, an adult. He is man, made of our flesh and blood, same materials, same DNA as us, functions in exactly the same way. He is God, he is man. He'll be adopted by Joseph. He will be a carpenter. He will breathe the air that we breathe. In fact, there'll be some molecules that we breathe that Jesus breathed as well. Can't tell you which ones in your life, but there will be some, statistically speaking, apparently. Just wait for that moment. There it was, gone. But here's the point. He breathes the same air. He lives on the same world, on the same planet. He has the same sensory system that we have. He feels like we feel. He is God. He is man. He is with us. The significance of what Joseph was told is that God was going to save in a remarkable way by being one of us, by being with us. He comes to live with us so we can go to live with him. What happens next, though, is equally significant. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Mary could be disgraced, no name, no protection, maybe not even living. Run out of town, stoned to death. But what Joseph does is he exercises faith. Do you know, not one single word that Joseph ever said is recorded in the Bible. I presume he spoke, but we don't know about it. He disappears from the scene after Jesus is about the age 12. But what he does here at this moment speaks volumes to us about this man Joseph and how he has reacted to the news. He's heard about the Savior. He has heard that he is God, that he is man, and that he is with us. What will he do with that? And what does Joseph do? Well, first of all, he sees the miracle. He recognizes the miracle of God with us. Despite all the social pressures, despite the logical and the scientific view that's kind of bearing down on him, saying, there's got to be a physical explanation for this. Mary must have been unfaithful. Despite all of that, he believes what the angel says, that what is conceived is God with us. How do we know that he believed that? Takes Mary home to be his wife. There's no other explanation for him doing this other than he believed what he was told. There's no motivation, there's no reason except this. He believed what the angel told him. And here's where we come in and become part of the story. The question for us is, can you see the miracle? He is God. He is man. He is with us. Can you see the miracle of the birth? It's explained, it's described, it's historical accounts. It's a miracle. But the miracle is not so much that it was a virgin birth. The miracle is what the significance is. I know a number of you have been enjoying the most recent David Attenborough programmes on the BBC. They've been great, haven't they? And there's some fascinating things about them, actually, in the way we react to them. Lots of interesting things we could say about that. But the most recent one, the last one, I think, was in cities. I think that was the final one. And there was some remarkable footage of a bird of prey in New York. Do you see the one in Manhattan Harbour or something? And it was fascinating, I suppose, because it was in a city. We've seen scenes like this elsewhere. But from an extraordinary height, there are these birds of prey up there flying around over the city itself. And they kind of spy a pigeon there, kind of over the water outside New York. And they drop at about, I don't know, 200 miles an hour or something, zooming down to grab this pigeon or whatever it is. In just a remarkable way. I think the footage they showed, kind of missed the first time, maybe the second time. The third time, like, dive bombing down, grabs the pigeon. It's a remarkable scene, but something more amazing happens when Jesus comes down. You see, the expression you use for that, bombing down like a bird of prey, is to stoop. It's what the bird is doing. They're stooping down. But the remarkable thing happening is that Jesus is God. He's with God. He is God. And yet he stoops down to earth. He drops an extraordinary distance down to be with us. But not to grab, not to smash, not to eat, not to destroy. But he comes down to save, to rescue. And from stooping, he grabs, he rescues, he redeems, he frees, and he takes us to be with him. Not to be consumed by him, but to be friends with him. And whatever stage you are at tonight, can you see that? It's a miracle. It's extraordinary. It's something to celebrate every day. Joseph saw it. Jesus is God. He is man. He is with us. And he recognizes the Saviour. He sees the miracle and he sees the Saviour. We know that because he gives him the name that the angel told him. He gives him the name in expectation that Jesus will go on to be the Saviour. He's going to be the perfect Saviour, the perfect man, the perfect dwelling place for God, the perfect judge, the perfect people of Israel, the perfect anointed one, the perfect everything. He's going to be awesome. He's going to be a Saviour. And I kind of think that Joseph, after the baby's born, is sitting there on a straw bale or something in the place where the animals were kept. That is in the Bible, that bit. And he's holding this baby and he's not just thinking the wow that most of us think when we hold a baby, especially our first baby. There's always a wow moment, isn't it, holding your first baby. But I think he'd be sitting there having another wow moment. Wow, it's a baby. Wow, it's a Saviour. Wow, it's God with us. He'd smile a bit, wouldn't he? Don't you reckon? He's a quiet man. He's a good man. He doesn't say much. But I think his lips would curl up a little bit at the sides. And he'd think, yeah, he's God. He's man. He's with us to save. Can you see the Saviour? I want you to see the Saviour. I'm trying this evening to set out the history, to pull you into the history so you feel like it really happened, because it did. But it's not just about saying, interesting story. It's about saying, I see. Do you see the Saviour? You need the Saviour. Can you see the Saviour? Maybe tonight is a culmination of you investigating the Christian faith, and maybe tonight you want to say, I've been seeing it, and now I really see it, and I want to commit to this Saviour right now. I understand that He is God, and He is man, and He is with us, and He came to us to save, that He would go on to die and rise again for my sins. I've heard that, and now I understand it, and I want to commit now. Maybe that's you. Don't go away without doing business with God and asking Him into your life. Maybe tonight's just the first of a few kind of investigations into Christianity. Maybe you've heard some things that made you think. Maybe it's raised lots of questions because you're not sure about some bits in between. Well, please do come back to this church. We've got a service next week on Christmas Day in the morning at 10:30, and then on New Year's Day at 10:30, and then after that on the 8th, and whatever dates are after that, we meet here together. And we'd love you to come back, and we will be running another Introducing Christianity course very soon. So please do check back in with us about that. But whatever your stage, wherever you're at, I would urge you to engage with what's been said in all the readings and this particular bit of the Bible we looked at this evening and think, what happened? What does it mean? I want to say to you just one more time, this text tells us Jesus is God, He is man, He is with us to save.